today on a very special edition of the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, you know Airbnb, but have you heard of Fairbnb? They might be about to change the rent your home to a stranger business in a dramatic way. And Boeing says the software update for the 737 MAX planes has been completed. So when are the planes back in the sky?
A destination has gone plastic free. Not only are they getting rid of plastic, they're going to fine you a big pile of dough if you violate the law. We make you a smarter traveler at 320.
The back half of today's program is something I think everyone will find to be great listening. The only radio voice the Sacramento Kings have ever known, Mr. Gary Gerald, joins us to talk about traveling around the continent with the Kings.
The G-Man, as he's known around the league, shares his favorite cities, his top dining picks and hotels, plus a little about what a schedule is like on the road for an NBA team and its entourage.
This is a really special show, and we are honored to have you join us. First time or regular listeners, welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
With the show.
Well, what do you know? We're back. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, here with another edition, and a special one it is. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark,
How can you be sure?
How can I be sure of what?
Of whether or not it's Mark and Tom.
Oh, no. Let's not go down that road.
Welcome back, my friend. Yeah, it's nice to see you on a Sunday afternoon. We've had just the tiniest bit of rain here in Sacramento. We've turned suddenly into... Have you ever seen this much rain this late in May?
Not that I can remember. I really don't. I'm sure that, you know, the weather guys, they can go back and tell you exactly when. But if it has, it's been a long time. All I can tell you is that, you know, us, the people that like to grow a little vegetables and so forth, I put my tomatoes and my squash in. Yep. And you do it when the ground reaches a certain temperature, you know.
Yeah.
And literally, these little small tomato plants, they actually have tomatoes on them.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I, when this rains, we're thinking, do we need to go out and cover them with an umbrella? Or a something.
And the cherry farmers up and down the valley have your tomato problem times 10,000.
Oh,
or
yeah.
A million or whatever, how many cherries were hanging from the trees before this all started, because it's like we're right at the peak of what would be harvest season for cherries. So it's entirely possible that the cherry season, along with some other things, may go belly up. But you know, the great thing about the weather is it's always good for somebody and bad for somebody. Whoever had an outdoor event this weekend, good luck with how that went.
Yeah, let's see. What do you got here? You got a May wedding.
Yeah.
And, you know, you either booked a Saturday or a Sunday. I think today it's going to, you know, yesterday, Saturday, it rained in the afternoon, so people probably got rained out there. Today, I don't... It's not very cool.
It's not very hot, though. So, no. You know, regardless of if you're in a spot where you're getting a lot of rain or not, it's definitely not shirt sleeve weather.
How was your week? I understand you got out and
did
a little something.
Speaking of shirt sleeve weather, yeah. Went down to the ballpark to see the Toronto Blue Jays. We have a young man from Elk Grove, Rowdy Tellis, who his first name is Rowdy, is we were told by a bunch of folks who were on the bus, including a couple of his high school teachers, who told us that he got the nickname Rowdy because he got it from the womb. From his mother, because he was always kicking and causing problems.
Really? So it's a real name?
So, well, it's a nickname, but,
oh,
that's,
okay.
But that's why they called him Rowdy. So anyways.
well, that's cute.
He got a hit, and we got to see the Giants win, and it was supposed to be a total rained out day, but it actually turned out to be a fairly nice afternoon.
And you said that if I heard correctly, some of his high school teachers traveled with you on your sports leisure vacations to the game.
A bunch of folks who were fans of the young man from Toronto.
How about that?
That happens pretty often. We have a game with the Washington Nationals coming up. Same thing is going to happen. There's a Sacramento kid there, and a bunch of folks are going to go down to see him play. So sports leisure vacations takes folks to Giants and occasionally to an A's baseball game, but mostly Giants about 8 or 10 times a year. And we are taking off, Thomas, next week on our ballparks trip to Houston and Miami and Tampa. In fact, I will be joining you from one of those faraway places to do the Travel Guys live from the other side of the country somewhere along
Outstanding.
The way.
Do you have any seats left on any of your baseball trips?
The day trips, yes. The day trips going down to see the some occasionally worth seeing Giants there are still seats available, and a schedule can be found at sportsleisure.com.
Sportsleisure.com. All right, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do the travel news, so let's get to it. Mark, what do you got in this week's travel news?
Well, you know, the folks in Las Vegas, if you remember, about half a dozen years ago decided that gambling was not necessarily the only game in town there, and they came up with a lot of different things for people to do. Our friend Ed from the Big Dig, where you can go down and rent the big piece of equipment and, you know, play like you could never have played because they wouldn't let you on those things when you were a kid. Well, Vegas Supercarts has debuted the longest, fastest outdoor go-kart track in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Now, if you're a girl, maybe not so much, but if you're a guy...
Well, you know, I've been to some of those really fast go-kart places that they have around town. We got one out in Rancho. And I'll tell you, the girls like to go fast, too. Trust me.
So anyway, this is this is kind of a cool thing. This is mostly for adults or high school age kids. But at the end, it says Supercart expects to make additional announcements later this year, including information about night sessions and new junior go-karts for drivers ages 8 through 14.
Now, is this an outdoor facility?
It is. It is. It's in Las Vegas. And it's located at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, 15 minutes from the Strip.
Wow.
So, TravelGuysRadio.com. You can find more information.
I'm going there now.
About that. Here's something. You know, remember a few years ago, we talked with Doris Matsui. Doris had helped to create a set of laws, really, that helped protect cruise passengers when they were out in the open seas. And a follow-up to that law has kind of gotten stalled a little bit in Congress. Here's an example of why that's important. Headline says, lawsuit claims cruise employee used master key to sexually assault 11-year-old. This is something from a Norwegian cruise line. Obviously, there'll be a trial and everything, so the point is not necessarily to go deeply into the story, but the point is to point out that sometimes things happen on the high seas that need to be documented and need to be known to other people who are traveling, who might be traveling on that ship, or the people who are in charge of the employees on that ship, or whatever. So I just mentioned this today because when I talked to Doris Matsui's staff, they're a little discouraged about the fact that with the political situation the way it is, there hasn't been a whole lot of customer things that support, protect customers and stuff like that have not been a big priority the last couple of years. And so this is kind of languished a little bit. But what this story tells me is that there are still situations on the high seas like the one where Doris' constituent from the lady from up in the mountains was assaulted on board a ship, that these things still happen. And it's important for us to make sure that systems are in place so that those things are reported, and that if someone is hurt, mentally, physically, otherwise, on board a ship, that something can be done about it, that there are facts to back it up later on.
Good. Okay.
New research reveals what naughty things passengers do on planes.
Not another one of
these. Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
Let's see. This is a survey of more than 5,000 American adults. Discovered that 14% of flyers have smoked or vaped in the bathroom, even though it's strictly banned.
Wow.
Well,
14%.
As long as we're in the bathroom, we might as well talk about this other thing that happens in the bathroom every once in a while on an airplane. What's more, as many as 18%. That's 1 in 6. Say they've had sex in the bathroom.
That's
remarkably,
hard to believe,
that's
yes.
the same percentage of people who have read a book to pass the time, according to Jet Costs research.
There you go.
Okay. That's one out of six. Have you ever? I mean, it's kind of a personal question, but I.
No, I can clearly say I have no problem with admitting that I have never smoked or had sex, or for that matter, read a book in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
You know, of an airplane.
On an airplane. Let's
How
see.
About you? Are you flown?
No, not any of those things.
Okay, we all have revealed it here, and we're good to go.
Interestingly enough, only 15% of the people who said they were smoking in the bathroom were caught in the act. And of those people who were caught, one-third received a fine. 3% of them were hit with a lifetime ban from the airline.
Wow.
So, ouch on vaping on the plane there. You might think that it's kind of... other annoying behavior flyers admitted to include removing their socks and shoes in flight, with nearly a quarter getting too comfortable. 19% have clapped when the plane landed. 14% have reclined their seat when the person behind them was eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine that happens accidentally quite often.
Alabama is the state Americans least want to fly to, with 35% saying they wouldn't fly to the heart of Dixie because of the high rate of crime, lack of things to do, and unfriendly laws and locals. Nevada and New York also received little love from the respondents. Oh, my goodness. Never mind. There's some other stuff in here that really just might not be appropriate for family radio, but other things that people did on airplanes, and you can go to travelguysradio.com.
I was going to say.
.com and see it there.
Travelguysradio.com has no morals whatsoever.
Otherwise,
just kidding.
You might come back next week and we might not be on the air if we go into that in too great. Hertz has a pattern of mistakenly reporting cars stolen and leaving customers arrested. An attorney says, Hertz says that these cases are extremely rare, but apparently if you take a car back and the return is not recorded correctly and someone else takes it out, then Hertz decides that they can't find the car anywhere, they come to the person who's got it now and say, anyways, doesn't happen very often, they say, but my goodness, that's kind of alarming.
That would be, yeah.
Would that be a little disconcerting if you got out in a car on the road and the police officer pulled you over and said, excuse me, you're going to jail?
That would kind of spoil your holiday or business trip.
Yes, all or both. Congratulations to Tourism Cares. They went to Puerto Rico. This is a group of... travel suppliers, tour operators, folks in the travel business who do this three times a year. It's a foundation, Tourism Cares. They went to Puerto Rico and invested over $100,000 in the communities of in and around San Juan. And just fixing things up and trying to restore tourism spots to make them so that folks can enjoy them. And then that creates revenue and dollars and visitors who stay in hotels and do all of those kinds of things. So thank you to the Tourism Cares folks. And let's see here, Thomas. I think that's just about... Oh, we have one more thing here from the headlines here. Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
You know Airbnb. Okay.
Right.
So... this is a new company called Fair, F-A-I-R, B&B. And, you know, the Airbnb, a lot of places people complain, municipalities complain that these part-time rentals and stuff are taking over. They're creating housing shortages in areas that already have housing shortages and the like. So this is a company that's doing a version of Airbnb, but is giving back to the community, has a business model that includes giving back to the community and listening to folks and trying to be responsive to their needs and stuff like that. It's kind of a social responsible example of Airbnb. I think it's kind of cool. Might be something worth looking into. Again, at travelguysradio.com, you'll find some more information. And of course, Boeing has announced that 737 MAX software fix is complete. Now they just have to wait for the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, to certify the fleet once again. We'll stay on that, but it's a story. You know, Tom, the other thing's going to be is, will people want to fly on those airplanes? I mean, let me just ask you, would you be concerned at this point if you fly Southwest a lot? They have some of those airplanes. Those planes go back in the sky. Would you ask your travel advisor whether or not it was a MAX plane, and would that be of some concern to you?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that because particularly when Southwest finally decides to start flying to Hawaii, they will probably fly on the 737 MAX. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would give it a little time in the year. I would like to see 6 months of them being up and flying and everything going well, you know, a time test. And then I would want to go. I would not want to. I would be checking.
They've taken the planes off the schedule until sometime in August, depending on the airline. So if they return to the sky before that, Southwest has said that they will be used as backup planes because obviously they're not on the schedule. So they would be a luxury for the airline to mm-hmm. have some planes to back up in case they had a plane with an issue or something like that. So the reality is that if you're flying, you might try to avoid one, but you might find yourself on one through through nothing that you could control
yourself.
Yeah,
well, we'll see how that goes. How about you?
I kind of tend to lean a little bit in your direction that I'd like to see him in the air a little bit, but I probably would get on one. I don't think I've flown an awful lot, and flying is, we always talk about how the most dangerous part of your trip is the drive to the airport.
It's
statistically
true.
It's true. it's a little disconcerting. And if you've ever, flown on a plane and had in the second half of the program, we talked to Gary Gerald and we talked to him a little bit about some of his adventures. That man's flown all over the country. What did he say, 5 or 6 million miles?
Yes.
And so...
And he does have a story to tell.
And the more that you've listened, I went into Portland one day and we thought we were going to land and then we didn't. And the same thing happened in Denver. And so, those things happen. Anyway, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys again. Everything that we talk about in most cases and sometimes even more is at Travel Guys Radio. .com. And as Mark alluded, we will have Gary Gerald in the back half of the show, a complete expose, if you will. Now, the life and times of Gary Gerald in the back half. But coming up next in just about 3 minutes, how do you feel about plastic? Are you into plastic? Yeah, I'm not talking about credit card plastics. And if the plastic, how would you like to get big time fines if you were using plastic? There are places you could go where that can happen. We're going to try to make you a smarter traveler and save you some money. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, you're here to make us a smarter traveler.
Well, I am, and our good friend Gwen Duncan sent this to me just a couple of days ago, and I thought this would really be something. We talk about about climate change and how that impacts travel and how some types of pollution impact travel. In particular, plastic has become mm-hmm. a bit of a problem in some destinations. So here is this is an update from GoGo Vacations. They sent this out to everybody who was going to the island of Capri. Effective immediately. Please note that there will be no more disposable plastic material in Capri. The Blue Island is about to become plastic-free. If clients go to Capri with a mineral water bottle or other disposable plastic items purchased before departure, mm-hmm. so you know how people like to carry an empty plastic bottle to fill up with water,
right.
So that would be a no-no here. They may incur a fine of up to 500 euros, which would be about $600.
Wow. Even if you're going to just take it with you and bring it home and all
well,
that?
Well, that's what this says.
Okay.
It goes on to say, quote, the mayor states that non-biodegradable material disposable bags, cutlery, plates, glasses, trays, food containers, straws, plastic or non-biodegradable material poles cannot be imported into the municipality. Then GoGo Vacations goes on to say, we have added a warning notice to all of our tours in Capri, which will be printed onto client documents to advise them of this change. Please reissue documents. So this was sent out, for example, to Gwen. Mm-hmm. If she had someone traveling with this travel company, please update your clients and let them know. This says impact on guests. Guests will need to check all items being taken into Capri to ensure they follow the new policies. Option for relocation, passenger expense. No compensation offered. cancellation policy, standard policy applies. So what that means when you translate it to from Greek to English is that if you violate this, if you've been told and you violate this law and they won't let you on the island or they kick you off the island, all of that is at your own expense. Don't call Go-Go Vacations or your travel advisor. And they're saying, you know, well, if you've decided that because of this you don't want to go, well, sorry, the standard cancellation fees will apply. Not being able to take your plastic with you is not acceptable. This is just a guess. I suspect we're going to see this in a lot of other places very soon, particularly environmentally sensitive places. We've already started to see cities in the United States that are banning plastic straws. Why are plastic straws such a problem? Because of the way they're made and their shape. They make it through almost all recycling type machines and the like, so they are disproportionately showing up in pollution. We've got at least one island floating around in the Pacific Ocean that is huge that is plastic. We're starting to find animals now with plastics inside their bodies after they die. It's
A plastic island, not a good thing.
Well, so these folks are making a stand, and I can't imagine that this will not ultimately be very good for them.
Did it mention any other besides Capri, any related to places?
No, none yet. This is just, like I said, this was an update that Gwen shared with me that she had received.
Mm-hmm.
And I will talk to her about it. She's going to be on the show next week. But so we can talk to Gwen. But I really do believe that this is what you're going to see. This is the wave of the future, that other destinations, particularly tourism destinations that are in environmentally sensitive places where they are already feeling the impact of not only the change in the climate, but of some of this pollution that's being left behind by the people who visit them. So what they're trying to do is get things back into balance. Is if you're going to come as a visitor, when I was a Boy Scout, we were told that you when you went to someplace special, you took only your memories and you left only your footprints.
Right, and that's how it should be. And I'm guessing that one of the things that you can advise your people that are traveling with you, and I'm sure Gwen will, is that everything that you need. You'll find at your destination.
Well,
if you need water, mm-hmm. They will have it there, and they will have it in containers that are acceptable, probably won't be plastic.
Very soon, you're going to find these already exist, but I think they're going to be more broadly marketed. Plastic is going to go away and be replaced by biodegradable things, and we're all going to figure out how to work with them. All right, one more quick thing here. I've got just a minute. I got a bill here. I rented a car in Providence. Remember how we're telling people that they put those plates on the windshield, and if you go through the toll booth,
yes,
that you'll be charged not only for the toll, but a service charge for that day, maybe every day of your trip. Guess what happened to Mark?
Oh, boy.
He went to Providence, Rhode Island, went on a toll road where he couldn't pay cash, and indeed, here is the bill from Hertz, not only for the $2.65 toll charge, but a convenience fee of $5.95. Be aware of that when you're renting a car. After the news, we're going to come back, and we have just a very special interview. We did this earlier in the week with Gary Gerald. He's been the only voice of the Sacramento Kings. He travels a lot. He's a great road warrior. We talk about hotels, about airlines, about restaurants, and we even talked the story about how Gary got hit the job being the only play-by-play man on the radio the Sacramento Kings have ever known.
That's next, right after the news. Stick around. Thanks for joining us. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as previously promised, our special guest is a Sacramento working broadcast legend, if you will, radio voice of the Sacramento Kings since their inception here in Sacramento. They call him the G-Man. I've called him friend for over 40 years. With us, Gary Gerald. Gary, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, I appreciate that. It's fun to catch up with you guys. And first of all, I think you need to reset your standard for legends a little bit higher.
Well, that's you, Gary. You've always been a very modest guy. Gary, do you have any idea how many miles you have traveled Kings and auto racing season?
Well, I gave up the auto racing a couple of years ago. It was time to, you know, dial things back a little bit, and there for a variety of reasons. I kind of closed the door on nearly 40 years of network coverage of motorsports and other events. But, you know, over the years, I have kept, you know, kind of tabs on miles traveled. And, you know, it used to be that I would do well over 100,000 miles a year. Now it's strictly basketball with the Kings, and so that has reduced that number, but it's still a pretty good number. It's right around 50,000 to 60,000 miles of travel each basketball season with the Kings. So the bottom line, when I look back and I try to estimate or ballpark actual miles flown, it's somewhere between 5.5 and 6 million. The best of my knowledge.
Gary, the NBA schedule over the years, it feels like it's gotten a little easier. Is that just my imagination? It feels like there are fewer three games in four nights type situations.
Yeah, the league has made concerted attempts in the last couple of years to try to reduce the number of what we call back-to-backs, where you're playing on consecutive nights. They are trying to make it, you know, a little more palatable. And not only in terms of back-to-backs, but as you mentioned, you know, the business of playing three or four and five nights, that's become increasingly rare. I mean, it's a grind. You have to condition yourself to it. And a lot of people, you know, they don't think about what really goes into NBA travel. Yes, you have charter flights, which makes it much, much more comfortable than the normal commercial flight in both terms of security, comfort on the airplane. The NBA has a charter service through Delta. They have a fleet, and I don't know how big the fleet is, but it's somewhere around a dozen, at last I knew, of retrofitted 757 aircraft, and they're converted to about roughly 75 seats. That's a good size aircraft.
Yep.
And so basically, the players in the front part of the aircraft they're not full lay-down seats, but they're deeply reclining, and they have significant leg room, as you would hope would be the case for guys who, you know, many of them are pushing 7 feet, if not exceeding 7 feet at all. And then the rest of the configuration, and there are about four total cabins in these planes, is what normally would be first class in a conventional or normal commercial aircraft. So there's a lot of comfort in that sense. But back to the point that I wanted to make about, you know, travel can be tough. You play a game, and then after that game, you've got an hour or so in the locker room where the guys, you know, cool down, ice down, shower, whatever. And then you head to the airport, and then you head on to the next city. And it is not uncommon to be, you know, walking into your hotel in the next city at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, you bring your bags along and you unpack, and by the time you turn the lights out, there are times when it's 4 or sometimes even as late as 5 o'clock if there have been some complications. So it's an unusual existence in that sense.
And, Gary, obviously, if you're doing back-to-back games, and you said there are 14 of these instances this year, so if you get to a hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning and let's assume a normal sleep night and getting up and having something to eat, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Your ball game starts in 5 or 6 hours. I'm guessing from my own radio experiences that, you know, you don't just walk up to the microphone and go on the air, particularly when you're doing sports. You got to know what happened last night and what might happen today, and not only intricacies of your game, but of other games and stuff like that. How do you prepare in a schedule situation like that?
You hope that you've learned over the years some shortcuts, but there is no substitute for, you know, doing your due diligence. And I'm one of those, unfortunately, I don't have a mind that retains everything, and I need a lot of fingertip reminders or information. And I think every broadcaster has his or her, you know, ways of preparing and doing their homework. I spend a lot of those time on the plane. I'm trying to work ahead. So you're on the airplane, you're updating stats, you're looking and going through the game notes, and you're trying to get a jump on that next day if it turns out to be one of those extremely late nights. Now, from the player standpoint and the coaching staff, they try to get the players up and moving for some kind of a breakfast or brunch meeting on back-to-backs, they don't have what they call a shoot-around, where you would go to the arena and you would spend 60 to 90 minutes, you know, getting loose and going over game plans and various scenarios. So they do that with a lot of video breakdown, and they have well-prepared breakfasts or brunches laid out by the hotel staffs, and some of them are very elaborate, and, you know, it's amazing. I mean, that's one thing about the NBA. Everything is done in a first-class fashion, and teams spend an inordinate amount of money on some of these situations, and, you know, it's a blessing to be a part of it and to be able to enjoy that. But back to the point about what you were talking about, short nights, getting ready, you touch base with the coaching staff at their meeting, and perhaps you touch base with a couple of the players based on whatever the schedule of the day is, and then you update your stats and one thing or another, and, you know, you have a couple of hours usually in the afternoon to go out and try to get a bite to eat. My pregame meal is usually, I'm one of those guys, I get up in the morning and I eat a cookie or something like that, and then that carries me till early or mid-afternoon.
Some
and
cookie.
Then I go out and have something of more substance, and then you go to the arena and do your broadcast, and then you get on the plane and you have something to eat on the way to your next location.
Gary, you know, as being a road warrior for many years doing this, you've got to have picked out some favorite cities. Favorite city and why?
Well, I am partial to probably cities that you would expect. Boston is a great walking city. I enjoy Boston a lot. I enjoy Chicago. Obviously, New York City, because it's New York and, you know, it's a city that never sleeps and there's just anything and everything going on. You find something that, you know, fits your need for entertainment or whatever. I enjoy those cities. Certainly in the middle of winter, it's nice to be in the southern tier, so it doesn't break your heart to have to go to Miami or to places like that. I also love the Canadian cities, and even though there's only one Canadian team in the NBA, it's Toronto. But over the years with the motorsport stuff, I had spent a lot of time in Vancouver and in Montreal and Toronto. I love those cities. I'm easy to please. I mean, there's something to be found, I think, in virtually every city, although I have never truly forgiven the NBA for exchanging Vancouver for Memphis, Tennessee. When you put that on the scale, it doesn't quite measure up.
How about your favorite restaurant? I you know, everybody's got a particular kind of food that kind of leads them to their favorite restaurant, but you got two or three that you'd like to mention.
Well, I mentioned Boston. There's a pizza joint in the North End called Regina Pizzeria. It's one of my all-time favorites. It was established in the 1920s, and it's a real throwback. I love hole-in-the-wall type places. I'm not one for fancy big meals particularly, although they're nice on occasion. But I love going to a place like Regina Pizzeria in Boston. You know, I like Italian food. New York City, and there's hundreds of Italian restaurants. There's a place called Tony's just off Broadway at about 43rd Street. I hit that every time I'm in New York City. Great coffee shop in Salt Lake City, the Little America, right across from the Grand America, where the team stays. Probably the best coffee shop in the NBA. And everybody says the same thing about that. But, I like, you know, the diners, drive-ins, and dives type places. And there's a couple of them. There's one in the outskirts of Oklahoma City called Ann's Chicken Fry. And I try to go there every time I possibly can. And, just places like that. The Pantry in L.A., a throwback to years gone by. So there's a lot of different places and a lot of different opportunities, and you try to take full advantage of them. And, again, as I say, I'm more of a dive kind of a place as opposed to someplace real fancy.
Ann's Chicken Fry in Oklahoma City is an old Route 66 throwback,
yeah.
Gary. It's been there for... gosh, longer than you and I have been on the planet, certainly.
They've got a couple of vintage. There's an old police car that sits out in front, and they've got a pink Cadillac with the big fins, and they've got a couple of gas pumps, Route 66, and Elvis Presley memorabilia and throwback stuff there. I mean, it's just a fun little place to go to.
Our special guest, Gary Gerald, the voice of the Sacramento Kings, the G-Man. And when we come back, we're going to talk favorite hotels and how Gary became the radio voice of the Sacramento Kings. That's next on The Travel Guys.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys on KFBK. We're talking with longtime Sacramento Kings broadcaster Gary Gerald.
Gary, you know, everybody has their favorite hotel, and I imagine you've had your share of different ones. What you like best?
Well, you get spoiled when you travel in the NBA and with the Sacramento Kings, and we stay at really, really good places. In the early years, you know, it used to be, you know, the good places were the Marriotts and the Hyatt Regencies and places like that. Well, in more recent years, that's been upgraded to a lot of Ritz-Carltons, Four Seasons properties, Peninsula, fabulous hotel in Chicago.
Okay, so we've talked about hotels, Gary. How about, was there ever an airplane flight where you went up in the sky and you were a little bit concerned about whether or not you were going to get down safely?
There have been two or three of those over the years, and I suppose anybody who puts in, you know, a lot of, you know, millions of miles in flight, you're going to have travel adventures from time to time. And you know, I'm not talking about, you know, delays and inconveniences and weather problems and things like that. We had a charter flight once with the Kings. I think we were headed up toward Portland or Seattle, and we weren't too far off the ground. And a bunch of alarms started going off. There was smoke in the cockpit, in the cabin, and there was a problem in one of the galleys with one of the stoves, and that was pretty unsettling. The most notable one was back in the early years with the Kings, when the very first years we flew commercial, and we had a flight going into National in Washington D.C., and for whatever reason, the approach was aborted on landing because we were very, very low and we were short of the runway, and you cross the Potomac River and a wing tipped, and I swear, I mean, people audibly in the fuselage of that aircraft gasped in terror, and we all thought we were going into the Potomac, and then it was power on and the pilot pulled up and we had what they call a go round and landed successfully. And this is days way before, you know, cell phones or anything like that. And people were in tears, including flight attendants, when we got off that plane, and so thankful to be alive. And, you know, you see professional athletes and you think they've experienced everything, and to see them as shaken as they were, it's something that I will never, ever forget. It was terrifying, to say the least.
Wow, and yet, you know, the job goes on. You got to get back on another and keep on going. Do you get out and doing any vacationing? Where do you go for fun? Where does Gary Gerald choose his vacation spot? Or are you just kind of like done with going when you have time off?
Well, in my advancing years, we've slowed down a little bit in terms of our travel. My wife has slowed down a bit. We're 79, or I'll be 79 next month. And so it's, you know, it's a little more challenging in terms of ambitious travel. But that being the case, you know, we go to Maui fairly frequently. We used to do theater blitzes, and I know Mark is familiar with that, with his travel business in New York City. And many, many times we've gone in the fall, in September, and we've done a blitz where we'd see 8 shows in 5 days and, you know, spend an inordinate amount of money doing that, but just marvelous experiences. In more recent years now, we're doing a lot of timeshare stuff. In fact, this weekend we're off to a timeshare in Southern California. We have a property in Carlsbad, which is a Four Seasons property that we love going to. We have timeshare up at North Shore of Incline Village, Lake Tahoe. Enjoy that a lot. So it's kind of cut and dried in that sense. Still once in a while, you know, this summer, my son, I'm going to take him. We're going to go back into the heartland of the country because we're big sprint car fans. We're going to the capital of sprint car racing, Knoxville, Iowa, which is about an hour out of Des Moines. And they have basically the biggest sprint car racing week of the year. And so that's always fun to go back and take some of that in.
Well, tell Bobby that yeah. I said hi. I haven't we worked together at KSAC
right,
back in the 90s, and that was kind of fun. Gary, I'd be remiss, I think, if I didn't revert a little bit back to the basketball side of things here just for a second with a couple of closing questions. How did the Kings gig come about? How did that happen?
It's kind of a long story that we probably don't have time, but I'll try to give you the condensed version. January 85, out of the blue, I get a phone call from a fellow by name of Gregory Dutch Van Dusen, who I'm sure you're probably familiar with.
Yes, absolutely.
He was part of the ownership group of the Kansas City Kings, and he said, Gary, I want to play What If with you. And I said, well, sure, what's up? And he says, well, what if the Kansas City Kings were to move to Sacramento? Would you be interested in being the radio play-by-play announcer? And I was stunned, and I took a beat, and I said, well, of course I would. Now, I might have to have, you know, some complications because of scheduling, because of my NBC involvement at that time. And he said, that wouldn't be a problem. So to fast forward, a few weeks go by, I get another phone call. It's from a fellow by name of Paul Aaron, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. who was the general manager of KFBK Radio mm-hmm. at that time. And he said, Gary, day after tomorrow, I'm going to Kansas City to see the Kings play somebody. I was wondering if you'd like to tag along and we'll meet some of the people in the Kings organization. I said, of course. So we go to Kansas City. I meet the general manager, Joe Axelson, his assistant, Bob Witsit, Julie Fye, who was handling media relations. Kevin Harlan was the radio broadcaster for the Kansas City Kings at that time. Had a chance to say hello to him. Spent the night, went to a game. That was wonderful. Came back to Sacramento. And then a few more weeks go by, and I get a phone call, and it says, and it's late in the season, Gary, the Kansas City Kings are coming west. They're going to be playing the Lakers in L.A., the Warriors in Oakland. We're wondering if you could take a tape recorder and go to those two games and tape them so that, you know, we can get an idea of what you sound like doing NBA basketball. I recruited my then teenage son, Bob. We went to L.A. We sat two rows behind the great legendary Chick Hearn up in the dark reaches of the Great Western Forum. So far off the floor, it seemed like you couldn't see anything. And I tried to call a game into a tape recorder with my son being kind of my other set of eyes and a stat guy. Did the same thing in Oakland with the Kings going against the Warriors. I did not know, but as that turned out, that was my real audition because Joe Axelson, the general manager, when it was learned that the NBA was going to allow the relocation of the Kansas City Kings to Sacramento, when he was driving that summer cross country coming to Sacramento, he listened to the tapes of those games. And I remember him putting an arm around me at one point after we were into the Kings season, and he said, kid, you were a hell of a lot better than you had any right to be. And I have never forgotten that. But that's kind of how that all came about.
That's a great story.
Let me ask then the obvious question on the other end without putting you on the spot. Have you given any thought as to how long this goes on?
Well, I do give thought to that. And basically it boils down to three things. As long as I'm healthy, as long as I'm wanted, and as long as it's still enjoyable and fun. And right now, all of those boxes are being checked. I have another year on the current contract, and I'm looking forward to that. It'll be my 35th year, and the 35th year of the Kings in Sacramento. Beyond that, I really don't know. I will tell you, Mark and Tom, I love what I do. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to do what I do. The Kings have been extraordinarily good to me over the years. I genuinely appreciate that. Fans have been wonderful, and I have a passion for what I do, and I hope and I think that I still do it at a pretty solid level, and it is my hope that I can continue to do that.
You know, Gary, many years ago, you talk about 35 years ago, before there were Sacramento Kings in town, the basketball team that was in town was a semi-pro team called the Sacramento Prospectors, who struggled for a couple of years, and you were at KCRA with a good man, Pete Liebengood, and you had a kind of a stringer at the time, John Malos, who went on to broadcast it in town also.
Right.
And you guys gave a disproportionate amount of airtime and attention to two young guys who were who had bought this semi-pro basketball team that had struggled for a year at Memorial Auditorium. And so so thank you for all of that. It's been a long time since all of that happened. But I'm glad to see that the King's Road has been a good one. Probably the only thing missing from that might be a championship ring to wear on your finger. And with a young squad coming up, who knows what could happen in the next couple of years?
Well, we've been wandering in the desert for the last decade plus, and hopefully we're seeing what is not a mirage. We're getting a legitimate foundation built, and certainly I know I've been rejuvenated this last year because the Kings were much more entertaining to watch. They've got great young men who are good character people, and they're terrifically talented as basketball players. And it's fun to think that maybe we're finally turning a corner and coming out of the desert, and we're going to get back under the bright lights of Broadway.
What an extreme pleasure and honor to have my old friend Gary Gerald. Over 40 years we've known each other and come this far and get an opportunity to talk about his career and the Sacramento Kings and traveling like a king here on the Travel Guys.
I couldn't agree with you more. Of all the people that I've met in my entire life, Gary Gerald is absolutely one of the most upstanding people. The Kings and Sacramento are incredibly lucky to have him. We got to get out of here. Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock right here on The Travel Guys.